book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and this morning we're going to be just looking at the first two verses. The first two verses of Hebrews in chapter 12, as we consider what it is to run a worthy race. Hebrews in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So, we're looking at a worthy race, and the book of Hebrews is a book that is full of exhortation to us as Christians, and I think the theme that really runs through the book of Hebrews is that this new covenant of grace which we are under is far better than the old covenant of the law. And under this new covenant of grace, we have the power to live a holy life before God. The Old Testament law, it commanded us to do good, but it didn't give us any power for that. But under the new covenant, we're commanded to live righteously. And then the indwelling Holy Spirit enables us to follow that command and to live righteously as Christians. And so in the beginning of this passage, that's what we have, is an exhortation to run a worthy race as a Christian, to run a race that is honouring to God. And so, right at the beginning of the chapter here, we see the writer, he gives us an exhortation, but he also refers back to chapter 11 a bit. He says, "Wherefore," and of course when we see the word "wherefore," we stop and see what it's there for. I know Pastor Scott's told you that before, and I was quite encouraged that, you know, some of the idioms and that he uses, I've heard them all before, and I thought, "Oh yeah, okay, everybody's familiar with that. Excellent." When you see the word "wherefore," you stop and see what it's there for. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So what's he referring to? Well, he's pointing back to chapter 11, and the in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 has been called the Great Hall of Faith. And it really is. It's almost like if you went to a club room where you see the Hall of Fame, and you have all the heroes who went before you. That's essentially what's being listed in chapter 11, and the list is quite extensive, going through Abel and Abraham, Enoch, Moses, and so forth. There's a list there of people who have gone before us in the faith and who were true heroes, in if we can use that word reverently. They were heroes of the faith. They were our example that we can look to, who lived righteous lives. And so there's an encouragement there as we look at the lives they lived, that life is possible for us. As we look to run our race, we can look back and see others who have run the race before us and take encouragement. And so he says, "Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And that word "cloud" makes it gives you the picture of something that surrounds you. Now, most of you have probably either competed in a sporting event or been to some sporting event where there are players on the field, but then there are also those in the stadium who are watching. There's a crowd who surround the field, and they're watching, they're looking on. And that's the picture, is a cloud, something that surrounds us, of witnesses, those who have gone before, who are a witness, firstly to the grace of God, because it was by the grace of God that they ran a righteous race. But secondly, they are a witness to our race. They're an encouragement, but they're also, as it were, looking on. Perhaps even you know, it's something that's not clearly stated, but it would appear from Scripture that from heaven, those who have run the race before us are able to look down and see the race we are running. as it were, as spectators watching on to see how we run the race. So God gave victory to these runners in the past. He can do the same for us. He gave them grace to run a righteous race. He can do the same for us. And so that picture there is almost like an Olympic event, a sporting event. And in the context here, we are the runners. We are the ones in the race. We're the ones who are competing, not with each other, because we all have individual races that we are running. But our race is a race that is, in effect, it's referred in other places as a battle against sin and the flesh. So in our race is a race to keep away from the obstacles, the weights and the sins that would hinder us in living for Christ. That's what we are running from, in a sense. And so we have to compete in the race in a particular way. And so after showing us in chapter 11 what is like a picture gallery, a wonderful picture gallery of faithfulness in others, of how others have lived by faith, we are now called, in view of all the trials that life may bring, and with the temptation to grow disheartened, we are called to run with patience and virtue, with faith and persistence to secure the reward. That's essentially what we're being encouraged to. Look at what's gone on before us. Look at the people who have run before us. And then look at the situation we're in, and in spite of the trials, in spite of the struggles, the situation that we're in, we're to run a race with patience and with faith, trusting in the grace of God that He will enable us. So that's what we're being encouraged to when it says, run with patience the race. Now, it says there at the latter part of the first verse there that there are some requirements for us as runners in the race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the runner in a race is careful not to be burdened down with unnecessary weights. Competitors in the games would need to adhere to a strict diet, a strict exercise routine, so that they would be in the best shape for their competition. That's the way it is when you're competing in a sporting event. You want to be unhindered in the race. You want to be running a race that is not hindered by weights and sins, things that are unnecessary. Now, if you saw an Olympic runner who got out on the track, and I mean, I've seen some of the 100-metre sprints, and some of those guys, that's so fast, you just think, I could never even get close to competing with that. But imagine someone got out on the track, and they've got a 100-metre sprint in front of them, and you see them wearing all these gold chains around their neck. You think that was pretty out of place. That's an unnecessary weight that's going to hinder them in their running. Now, is there anything wrong with a gold chain? Not in and of itself. But does it hinder the runner? Yes. So that's what weights is referring to in the verse here. When it says lay aside every weight and the sin, he's referring to two different things. A weight is something like that gold chain. It's not something that in and of itself is wrong, but it hinders the runner. And there are things that we can have essentially attached to our life. There are things that are not in and of themselves wrong, but they can be a weight if they hinder us from running a good race. And that can come in all sorts of forms. I mean, I don't see any problem with maybe attending a footy game on a Saturday. That's fine. That's all right. But when the footy game's on Sunday, and you know you ought to be in church, if you were to attend the footy game instead, that becomes a weight, that is a hindrance to your running the race. It's a hindrance to a holy life, to righteous Christian living. That's just one example. I'm sure there's many examples that we could give of things that in and of themselves aren't wrong, they're not sinful, but they hinder us in doing what we know we ought to do in the race. They hinder us from being the Christian we know God wants us to be. They hinder us from serving God in the way that He wants us to. They are spiritual weights. There could be things that keep us from church, or there could be things that keep us from doing the basics in the Christian life, like just praying and studying our Bible. And I preach to myself. How often have I got up in the morning and I go to, you know, have my breakfast and my usual Bible devotion, and then something comes up and you get so distracted with something else that your Bible devotion gets sort of put on hold and your prayer time sort of on hold, and I plan to get round to it still, but I've been hindered by something else. And my pastor used to always say he doesn't turn his phone on when he's planning on having his Bible study time. He's planning on spending time in prayer. The phone has to be turned off, because as a pastor he gets plenty of text messages and phone calls and all sorts of things that would hinder him from doing what he ought to be doing, spending personal time reading the Word. And of course we all know what those things are for us. We all have different things that distract us and hinder us in our race. So weights are different for everybody. Everybody has different weights that can attach themselves to our lives. And of course, for us as men, those weights will likely be different to the ladies. My wife and I, we know that we have different weights. And so she might say, oh, you know, this kept me, you know, with the kids. I had this situation come up, and then this came up, and I just didn't get round to my devotional time. And okay, that's fair enough. But for me, it might be something entirely different. For me, it might be that I've got a friend who keeps on trying to catch up with me, and eventually I go, oh, look, I'll just squeeze him in here, and it cuts my Bible time short, or something like that. We all have different things that are a weight or a hindrance to us. And so it's up to you to work out in your personal life, what are the weights? What are the things that in and of themselves aren't wrong? They're not sinful, but they hinder you from running the race as you ought to. They hinder you from doing what you ought to be doing. So that's what a weight is. It's something that isn't sinful in and of itself, but it does hinder us from being faithful as we ought to. But then there are also the sins that attach themselves to our lives. So lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So as we're running in the race, we have to identify the weights, the things that are hindering us. They aren't wrong in and of themselves, but they're a hindrance. But we're also called to identify the sins in our lives that hinder us. And of course the Holy Spirit helps us with that. He convicts us of the things that need to change in our lives. And so that's not usually something we need to identify. It's usually something that we need to deal with and we're reluctant to deal with. But the word sin in the Greek here means to miss the mark. And that is something that it is so easy for us to do. A sin is a transgression of God's law. It's an offence to Him. It's a missing the mark of His holiness. And for us, of course, don't hear me preaching sinless perfection, okay? I don't believe that any of us will be perfect this side of eternity. So don't worry about that. But we are called by the grace of God to identify those areas of sin, those areas where we fall short of the mark that God has set for us, and to seek by the grace of God to deal with those things. Again, not because we're going to be perfect in this life, and not because none of us are ever going to say something that offends another person, or we're never again going to do something that upsets another. No, I'm not saying that. But we want to live as much as possible, by the grace of God, a holy life, a life that pleases God. And that's what we're talking about, identifying the sin. And in the verse here, it's specifically talking about sins that easily beset us. And the concept there is, according to one of the commentators, he says that sin is something that hangs on to us. And every believer knows the truth of what this verse is saying. We all have the same sin nature, the old flesh and the old Adam. Sin is something that it comes with our flesh. Okay, from the day we're born, we have a sin nature in us. That's the natural bent that we have is towards sin. And if you don't believe that everybody has a sin nature, just leave your wallet out on the side of the street there and see how long it stays there for, okay? It will go missing, and then you'll recognise that we're not all inherently good. We all have a sin nature. It's just what we have to deal with. And it's something that easily besets us, or easily attaches itself to us and hinders us in running the race. That's what the verse says. The sin which doth easily beset us. It's something we all have to contend with. The hymn writer Isaac Watts said in his hymn, "When the battle's over, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to gain the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" What's he saying? There's no easy race for the Christian. There's no easy way out. None of us are going to float to heaven on beds of ease. Okay, that is not running a race. No individual who's serious about competing in a sporting event sits around on their bed of ease and does nothing about it. That's not the way it works. There is no saint so holy that he would realize he has certain tendencies which, if allowed to control him, would lead to the breakdown of his testimony. We all know that there are certain things in our lives, certain sinful tendencies, which if we allow those things to control us, they will lead to the breakdown of our testimony for Christ. That's the reality of it. We all have besetting sin. It's something that it's in the picture here, it's like sin is chasing after us to grab hold of us, but we have to be running a race. We have to be running the race well enough that the sin does not attach itself to us. That's the concept, really, of sin hindering us. It's something that would grab hold of us and hold us back. Sin easily besets us. And of course, the result, if we fail to deal with sin in our lives, is that we will be obstructed in the race. So the Christian is instructed to lay aside all weights and sin which easily besets us, to outdistance those things. And part of that is in Romans 13 verse 14 is to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I once heard an anecdotal story of two men who were walking barefoot on a hike and just enjoying being out in nature when they happened upon a bear which was upset at their approach. And the first man turned to run, but the second man stopped and began putting his shoes on. And the first man who had gone to run said, "What are you doing? You'll never outrun the bear." And the second man said, "I don't need to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." Now, it's amusing to us because we recognise it's obviously just an anecdote, so it's not real, but we recognise the reality of it, that sometimes we don't have to outrun the bear, we just have to outrun someone else. But in our Christian life, it's more than just outrunning someone else. Sin is what is pursuing us. And if we had a bear pursuing us, wouldn't we do all that we could to outrun that bear? A wild animal chasing after you. You're going to do everything in your power to escape. But when it comes to sin, sin is what is pursuing us like a wild animal that would tear us apart, that would tear us down in our Christian life. And so often we just treat it flippantly. It's not important to us, and we allow it to hinder us in our Christian life. It shouldn't be that way. We should be throwing all of that behind us to lay aside the weights and the sins that easily beset us and run the race with patience. That's how it's supposed to be as a Christian, throwing aside everything that hinders us from being faithful. And of course, we each know what those things are for us personally. And sin is, you know, there's no new form of sin. There's no form of sin that you'll face today that someone else hasn't faced another day in the past. Okay? But the grace of God is sufficient, and He enables us. He provides a way of escape so that we can bear these temptations. So, there's a call to run a holy race with patience, but it's also a very worthy race to run. And it's important to note that it is a race that has been set before us. And what that means is it's not a race that we have invented. It's not a race that we make for ourselves. The race that is set for you, it's not the race that was set for the next person or for me. Okay, we have an individual race, but it is a race that God has set before you as an individual. God has set the race before us. When a competitor competes in the Olympics, again, going back to that example, they don't determine the criteria by which the race must be run in order to win. They don't. They are told what the rules of the race will be, and they have to run within those boundaries in order to win the prize. And so when we have this criteria set before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's the criteria for the running of our race. If we're going to run a race, run the race that is set before us, and we're going to do that within the boundaries that God has established, those are the boundaries. Those are the criteria for running the race. So we have to keep within those boundaries. But there's also a goal in running the race. And you look at verse 2 there, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he's given us a challenge in verse 1. It seems like a pretty strong challenge, okay? There's a lot in there because we all recognise that the battle with sin, with indwelling sin, with the flesh, that is the greatest battle that we're going to face. It's indwelling sin. It's the enemy that's within the gates. It's not the enemy that's attacking from outside. That's the world. The world and the devil work hand in hand to attack the Christian from the outside. But sin that dwells in our hearts, within our flesh, that's the enemy that's inside, within the gates, that's working to undermine us. And so that's where the strongest battle is going to be. And we think, how on earth are we going to run this race? How are we going to do it? And it would be tempting to give up. It'd be tempting to be discouraged. And so he encourages us in verse 2, saying, don't give up, but look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's good news to be found in that. There is a definite path ahead. There is a definite goal. And sometimes when we're running the race, we begin to wonder where we're going, where the race is going to end up. And we look at the circumstances that we're facing and we think, I don't know, this whole Christian race thing, it's a bit rough. I don't know, can't I take a little detour and go and do it my way? And God says, no. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word looking there in the Greek, it literally means to fix your eyes on something and never look away. It's a look that is focused one direction. Look only at Jesus. Don't look over here at the temptations and the trials. That's what Peter did. And we all remember what happened to Peter out on the waves, walking towards the Lord Jesus. And he had faith to step out of the boat and begin in the walk to Christ. He began right with faith. And then he began to look around at the situation. And in that moment, his faith faltered. His focus shifted onto the circumstances and he began to sink. But what's encouraging there is that he turned to the right person. He cried out, Lord, save me. He knew where to look for help when he'd gone off track, when he had faltered. Same for us. If you've got off track, if you become discouraged and you're thinking, yeah, I'm not going to continue with this whole Christian race thing. It's a bit too much. It's a bit over the top for me. God expects too much of me. No. Get your focus back on Christ. He is the one who's gone before us. He's the one who set the race before us. And he is the one who can enable us to run the race and to finish the race in a way that pleases him. And that's what we want. So many people start out running a good race. And they're ready to do whatever it is that God wants them to do. And then they come across some situation that's like a brick wall in their life. And they're never going past that. And they drop out. They drop out of the race. And it's so sad to see. Looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on him. The word author there, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That word author is the completer. That's what it refers to. He is the completer of our faith. He is the one who perfects our faith in him. So if we're going to have a mature faith, a perfected faith, the only way we're going to accomplish that is by focusing on Christ and following him. Having him as our goal. Having our focus fixed on him. He's the one who's gone before us. He is the perfect example of undefiled faith. There is no greater example for us to follow. In fact, as the verse says, he sacrificed his own life so that by faith in him we might have eternal life. He's the one who perfected that, who completed that. And he is the one who completes us. We are completing him. So if we are going to run a righteous, holy race that pleases God, we can't be the ones who set up the goals, as it were. We can't be the ones who try to set the boundaries for ourselves. That's not the race that God set before us. That's a race of our own making. But we also can't run the race on our own, in our own strength. But we must be dependent upon Christ, looking to Him in faith, that He will enable us to run the race. So how is your race going today? Sometimes we in a sense, we kind of forget at times that we're even in a race. And we start to just sort of plod along as Christians, and we think we're doing all right, but we're not really going anywhere for God. We're not really serving Him. We're not doing all that He wants us to do, because we've forgotten that we're even in a race. But as we consider that, okay, yes, we know today we're in a race. Well, where's your race at? Where are you at in your race? Are you running within the boundaries that God has set for you? Are you doing what God wants you to do with your life? Or have you decided what path you want to go? Have you decided where you're going to travel? Are there things that are hindering you in your race? That's the next thing to consider. Are there things that you know they're a problem for you? You know, I was talking to a friend who he was telling me about some of the weights that he faced, and some of the examples that he gave of weights, to me, I couldn't understand it. One thing that he mentioned was he had started listening when he was in his teens to contemporary Christian music. And then it went from there towards some of the more secular rock music and that sort of thing. And that had been a snare to him. That was something that was a weight that was hindering him in his Christian race. And he told me that, and I understand that there are people who struggle with that. To me, I never struggled with rock music because it gives me a headache just to hear it. That wasn't a weight for me. And that weight didn't really make a great deal of sense to me. But for him, that was a serious weight in his life he had to identify. That was a serious problem that was hindering him in his Christian life. And he would come into church and he'd sit and hear the hymns and he'd say, "Oh, it's so dry." He wasn't enthusiastic about it because he wanted all the hype of the CCM and, you know, that style of music. But good Christian hymns with sound theology and good Bible doctrine in them, that sort of thing just seemed a bit dry. And it was sapping the life out of him. We all have to identify those weights for ourselves. And then lastly, I'd ask you, maybe you've been running in the race and you've been doing well, but something has come up that's got you a bit discouraged. Don't drop out of the race, whatever you do. Because I don't know where you're at. Are you discouraged? I don't know. But you know. And I just encourage you, fix your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who went before us, who ran a perfect race. Again, I'm not saying we're going to have any sort of sinless perfection in this life. Our race is not going to be the perfect race for all to follow. Okay? But we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to run a race that is honouring to Him. That's what we desire. So be encouraged. He has gone before us. He is able to strengthen us for the race that is ahead. He's the one who knows the beginning from the end. As I said before, sometimes we get bogged down looking at the situation and thinking, oh, where are we going? What's the end of this? Particularly when we're facing a trial and we don't know where it's going to end up. In those times, that's when we tend to start questioning the race that God has set before us? Is this really the race that I should be running? I don't like what God is doing. I don't like the path he's set before me. It's a bit hard. It's pretty rough at this time. And we begin to question the wisdom of God in the race that he's set before us. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows where you're going. And he is the one who's able to get you there. But you have to be focused. Focused on Christ. Focused on pleasing him in your life. It's a worthy race. It is. But is it a race that you are running? Or is it a race that you become distracted from? Is it a race that you become discouraged in? What sort of race are you running today? Let's close this sermon off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example, not just of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also of all those listed in the chapter 11 there of the book of Hebrews, who have run a race that was honouring to you, people who were men and women of faith. And Father, we do need to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and have undaunted courage as we face the struggles in our own personal lives, and faith that trusts that you will bring us through these trials that we face. Faith that looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognises that he is the one who can sustain us. He is the one who can bring our faith to maturity for his own glory. And Father, we do pray that you would help us as we run the race, that we might identify those things that hinder us. We might identify the things that are a sin, the things that are a weight, and that we might, by your grace, deal with those things so that we can run a race that is honouring unto you. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I should have prepared the audio recording for the